Well, you are listening to Meeting House here on Faith Radio. Great to welcome back to the program the executive director of First Stone Ministries. Actually, if I'm not mistaken, the chairman of the board for a very hopeful ministry like First Stone called the Restored Hope Network, which is actually a coalition or a consortium of a variety of different ministries. Stephen Black, joining us today here on the program in advance of something that is coming up actually in less than 2 weeks. It's going to be February 22nd and 23rd. It's taking place in Oklahoma City, but there are opportunities to actually get connected to the content that are in the works. But if someone wants to make that trek to Oklahoma City, there is some information on the website godsvoice.us about registration for this conference. And as the website says, Stephen, God's voice will bring biblical clarity to the recent confusion surrounding the issues of, quote, revoiced sexuality and, quote, LGBTQ+ Christians. So, Stephen, let me just say here at the very beginning, what I appreciate about First Stone and about the Restored Hope Network is the fact that you offer hope to people in Jesus Christ, where you have some that would teach, well, the LGBTQ lifestyle or same-sex attraction, these are things that are given to you by God. There's no way out. So you can just make the best of things, embrace that attraction, embrace that identity, but you can also identify as a Christian. But it seems to me that the same-sex SSA identity, the identity trumps what actually the Bible has to say. And you guys are out there promising freedom in Jesus Christ and saying, hey, this is possible, while others say, well, you know, you have to accommodate this. And you can identify as SSA or homosexual or lesbian or whatever. And that actually supersedes your identity in Christ. So thank you for what you do. Is that a good appraisal of what it is, the message that you teach?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, first of all, I'm no longer the chairman of Restored Hope,
okay,
so that's just
thank
a
you.
Minor correction, because we have term limits, and
okay.
I termed off. But I was certainly one of the founders of the Restored Hope Network, and we'll, of course, hold that as part of my resume. I'm very proud of that and very grateful for the Restored Hope Network. But First Stone and the ministries within, and not just Restored Hope, there are other ministries as well that actually do offer hope, because our lives, many people have come out of homosexuality. I have 16 leaders that contributed in my own book that actually have over 20 years of experience having come out of homosexuality themselves. So we comfort people with the same comfort as Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that this blessed hope that we have in Jesus Christ, that this transformative grace came into our lives and changed us. And so we are very much about that hope, the hope of the grace of God. When you put your faith truly, totally in Jesus Christ and surrender to him, then he begins to work on, you know, the years of brokenness and trauma and pain, and people find lasting freedom.
What would you say to those with respect to the church and how it relates to those who identify as LGBT? There's this whole narrative that is out there that basically says, well, the church has been cruel, the church is mean, you don't need to tell these people that they can change, that they are living a sinful lifestyle. It seems like that those that embrace this narrative really are accepting so much less than what the Bible has to promise, and, you know, or what the Bible promises.
Oh, absolutely. And I would ask that person what decade they're living in, because that may have been true in the 60s and 70s. But through the 80s and 90s, the church went through evangelical church started going through a major transformation of doing ministry and support to anyone identified with, you know, LGBTQ plus issues, same-sex attraction. And now where we're at is now we have some of the largest evangelical denominations, specifically the Southern Baptist, the Presbyterian Church of America, the Gospel Coalition, the Acts 29 Network, that many of their leaders are now embracing this idea of a sin construct of lesbianism, gay, bisexual, transgender Christian. And they're actually putting these words and merging it together that there's somehow a legitimate identity. And what has been coined as a sexual minority now, these LGBTQ plus people that embrace Jesus in a mindset and a historical Jesus and even what they would say is a biblical Jesus, but they're merging it and they're actually calling out, like they did at Revoice, as victims of the church for not being able to merge their quote-unquote identity with Christianity. So this is a new movement that is taking place that actually, if you're unsuspecting and or if you're not biblically literate, it would sound compassionate and good to try to help people who are struggling. And what they would even present as celibate gay Christians. But these folks, even the leaders of Revoice, they run with people who are promoting gay marriage. And then you find out, you know, they're going to gay parties and they're still struggling with pornography. And, you know, I'm going to have a lot to say about that at the God's Voice conference and unpack that. But just a real simple thing for listeners to understand, you could have one pornographic image burn in the mind and set it aflame and cause all kinds of problems in a soul. How much more so to people that have spent years dealing with this, and then they call themselves, well, I just can't get free of my attractions. And so they're wanting to kind of dumb it down by calling it same-sex attraction, when in fact it's actually a same-sex lust that really needs to be repented of and help by the power of the Holy Spirit for Jesus to come in, our King and our Lord, to rearrange the internal world to live in integrity and holiness. And these are things that they're not actually promoting at Revoice and other of these, you know, quote-unquote LGBTQ Christian groups. So we're in a pretty predicament in the evangelical world. And so we're going to be offering this God's Voice conference to bring some understanding and some correction. And a major piece of it is hope. And there'll be real testimonies of transformation that will be provided, and I'm very excited about that.
Stephen Black joining us today here on the Meeting House on Faith Radio, founder of the Restored Hope Network and First Stone Ministries, one of the speakers and members of the leadership team for the upcoming God's Voice Conference in Oklahoma City. And I wanted to reinforce this whole notion of hope. When you talk about a person that is experiencing or has experienced same-sex attraction or is trying to come out of the homosexual lifestyle, they've committed their life to Christ, yet they are not seeing the fruit, the triumph, the overcoming power expressed. Now, when you talk about people that claim same-sex attraction or embrace the LGBTQ plus identity, if you have people that are earnestly trying to come out of that lifestyle, that's a whole lot different than someone that is identifying with that lifestyle and attempting to put a Christian label on it because they haven't completely experienced the transformation. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's what I do, you know, full time. We have ministry offices here where we do what we call pastoral care discipleship counseling. And so there's a really holistic offering of understanding that the soul of these people, it's true of myself, that had to deal with some significant, usually, trauma of sexual abuse. About my survey, the published survey, Freedom Realized, shows that 55 to 60% of the males and higher of the females that were sexually abused as children. So that's very common. Higher than 90% of the people were exposed to graphic sexual knowledge through pornography or sex talk or other means before they were even, in the age of development of puberty. And so these people's minds and souls have been, you know, really wounded. And then they usually have come from broken families, and they've had other traumatic things happen, bullying, and there's an assault on their entire history. Pretty typical. So in pastoral care, it's, you know, going through the history, and then dealing with this core issue of identity. And there's lots of bitter root judgments and even judgments against themselves, self-hatred, shame, mad at God in the, you know, that they, like a young man feeling sensitive, artistic, and emotional, or a female who is a leader and actually needing to mentor and bring out and deal with the fear of the gender that they are. And there is a mentoring process that needs to take place in so many of these people. And that's why they're not finding freedom, because they have not really dealt with a lot of the underpinnings of brokenness, and that they really do need thorough counseling. And then, quite frankly, the issue of Ephesians 6:12. The level of biblical illiteracy around spiritual warfare and what goes on the mind and the soul by being exposed to darkness and the difficult things in life, and resolving how to take thoughts captive and have a clean internal world of integrity. And this is not even taught in the church in discipling just the average guy who's, you know, which we have stats of 70% of the men in the church viewing pornography on a weekly basis. So we really need to teach integrity and holiness, and a place where people find what I love the Latin phrase, coram Deo, where they're living in the presence of God and they are living in a lifestyle of integrity. And brother, it works. People do find lasting freedom.
Well, Stephen Black joining us today here on the Meeting House on Faith Radio from First Stone Ministries and Restored Hope Network, one of the leadership team members of the God's Voice Conference coming to Oklahoma City, February 22nd and 23rd. Important topic here, especially, Stephen, over the last year. I know you and I have had the opportunity to chat several times over the past few months, and there have been a number of different events or instances or points on the timeline, if you will, regarding the infiltration of this LGBTQ plus gay Christian agenda, where the gay actually supersedes the person's identity in Christ. Of course, there's been a lot of emphasis here on this Revoice conference, and someone could say, well, you know, they're promoting only 400 people. They didn't say only 400, but, you know, you look, and when you consider all of the attention that was granted to it, when you think, well, only 400 people showed up for this, you think, well, maybe this is not as significant as perhaps we might think. But then when you see the ability of people that embrace this agenda to communicate their message and how similar messages have infiltrated the church, you know, this is something that is becoming quite pervasive. So just take us through the timeline over the past few months since the Revoice conference, starting with that conference itself, and tell me if you think it was as bad as people thought it was going to be.
I think it was actually worse.
I agree with
myself.
I
actually watched it all, and I was so grieved, honestly, Bob, by the testimonies. I couldn't believe the one ex-wife of a gay man's testimony, and then the complaining testimonies, and then the complaining against the church. It was really pretty awful. Now, one of the key things that we see that is not talked about is the psychological piece that has been feeding this narrative. And what this is people like Mark Yarhouse's white paper on Christian sexuality and gender that has been offered to many seminarians and Bible teachers, especially the ones coming out of our seminaries right now with a mindset that orientation doesn't change. Well, the white paper's been around since 2010. It was actually part of the piece that fed the narrative of the collapse of Exodus, which is this idea, well, orientation rarely does change. So they're actually teaching a graceless and an empowered, disempowered gospel of unbelief. And so they're actually teaching our young people coming out of Bible college right now that, you know, you need to be really, truly compassionate because we now have the APA behind us, you know, this, which people would think it's scientific or that it's somehow authoritative. And actually, like Joseph Nicolosi said, the late Joseph Nicolosi, who was very much a part of that community, said, it's nothing but a political machine that wants to promote these new perverse ideologies. And so this is what's going on behind the scenes. You've got this political movement, the APA, that with higher learning, telling people that orientation doesn't change. And if you're going to be a godly, loving, kind, sensitive Christian, then you need to understand that you're dealing with people that rarely change. And so that's the narrative that we're up against. It's not the gospel. It's not what the Word of God says. They're preaching a message that they have a religion, and it's what they're denying the power thereof. You know, St. Paul warned in the last days to Timothy that this would be the case. They would be teaching doctrines of demons. They would not be teaching a gospel based upon the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ, conforming to godliness. They're teaching psychology and this idea that if you're going to be kind and graceful, then you accept these people as a subset called sexual minorities. So that's where we're at. So that's the history. That's why there's God's voice, is to actually tackle what they communicated was the beauty of queer treasure in heaven and the beauty of queer theology. That's why the subtitle of our conference is called A Biblical Response to the Queering of the Church. So they think that the church should be celebrating what they themselves are labeling themselves as queers. And so this is new terminology, queer Christians. And this is so egregious. So many people are saying this can't be happening. But in fact, Bob, it is happening. And so we really do want to offer great compassion and hope to those who want it. Unfortunately, there are those that are very content to live in this kind of half-hearted Christianity that I think over my 30 years plus in helping people will just keep these souls in bondage, and eventually they give up and throw their hands up and say, I can't walk in this, like, you know, Julie Rogers with Wheaton, who called herself a lesbian Christian, and now she's throwing her hands up and says, I want to marry a woman. So this is what we are up against, and we're actually trying to call the church to repentance and to speak boldly the truth that transforms. So that's what's happening. That's what Revoice was about, and it's unfortunate that there are so many people in the Presbyterian Church of America that are very divided on this. There's a lot of confusion in the church. A lot of back talk is going on, and a lot of hurting pastors and hurting sheep. So we need God's voice at this time, where there's clear biblical instruction, and where people can find lasting freedom.
Well, Stephen Black joining us today here on the Meeting House on Faith Radio, one of the leadership team members of the upcoming God's Voice Conference. And while giving us a lot to think about, this whole notion, and I just pulled up the statement on social justice and the gospel. We were talking about the social justice movement, which really, to me, seeks to divide people into classes of victims and victimizers. The LGBT gay Christian movement obviously placing themselves in that category of being victimized, including victimized by the church. This statement, which last time I checked, you're talking about upward of 10,000 people that have signed it, saying we reject gay Christian as a legitimate biblical category. You used a phrase earlier, and it's also addressed. It says we further deny that people should be identified as sexual minorities, which serves as a cultural classification rather than one that honors the image-bearing character of human sexuality as created by God. So someone uses, they pull out that phrase, sexual minority, and that conjures up the thought and perpetrates the narrative that the people that are wanting to further this narrative are somehow being victimized by the church and by culture at large.
That's right, and they would actually complain and be able to point to, and we have great compassion for people who have been bullied and been hurt, but the problem is they stay there. And in Christ, He has brought us into a place of maturing to get to the place of no longer calling ourselves a victim, but a victor, that we have victory in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the narrative of a gospel-centered message, is that through Jesus Christ our Lord, we find freedom. You know, I'm crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the reason He lives in me is because He loves us, and we put our faith and trust in Him. And it goes on that I have put my faith in the Son of God because He loves us and He died for us. And there is a place in Christ, and even later on in Galatians, that's Galatians 3, I think, verse 22 or 24, and Galatians 5:25, that if you belong to Jesus Christ, you crucify the passions and lusts thereof of the flesh. And so the true gospel narrative must be one that presents the idea we die to ourselves, and in dying to ourselves, we rise up in newness of life to follow Jesus Christ. And in that, we actually find joy in serving Him, joy in the community, and not this victim mentality because you're driven with same-sex attraction or same-sex lust. And that's what's being promoted, is this idea that I'm a suffering Christian and you need to recognize me in the church. And yes, we do need to recognize a lot of these people have been victimized, but not as a separate class of person that identifies to a sin construct that actually is going to bind them to their sin as an identity and continue to keep them broken. That, to me, is a misjustice of love and true kindness towards a soul. And that's what has to be courageously embraced by these pastors that honestly are being beat down with this narrative, that if you speak out against this, that somehow you're unloving, unkind, bigoted, and homophobic. And the problem is what I have seen over and over and over, when people do the investigation, these pastors that won't speak out boldly and truthfully, they either have a gay-identified loved one in their family midst, or they themselves struggle, or they're just wrought with fear. And this is what's going on in the church. We have so many of these pastors, they themselves need liberty from other forms of sexual sin and brokenness. And so they're giving a pass on this. And this is what needs to happen, is a complete place of surrender, the entire church of Jesus, and say, Lord, we really need your divine intervention. Please grant us revival. We will preach the truth, because these souls do not need to be left in bondage. We're going to love people well enough to tell them the truth on these issues. I'm so glad, Bob, 35 years ago, I had a man, a Southern Baptist preacher, who was absolutely in love with Jesus Christ. He was part of the fullness movement at the time. We saw an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and an actual revival where God was doing amazing things. And I was saved under really powerful preaching that confronted my soul with how evil I was without Christ and how much I needed him. And that's what we have to get back to, is that kind of preaching and teaching.
Stephen Black joining us today here on the Meeting House on Faith Radio from First Stone Ministries and Restored Hope Network, part of the leadership team for the upcoming God's Voice Conference. And, you know, you talk about pastors perhaps being discouraged or reticent to actually deal with some of these issues with respect to God's plan for sexuality. It sounds like that the material in this God's Voice Conference would be certainly encouraging and really serve to equip and perhaps even embolden those who are in the pulpit. Who else is this conference for?
It absolutely is for pastors and leaders, but it's also just for anyone who's having some confusion about this. Parent, family, and friends, and the struggler themselves that really wants to have clear truth. And to hear the testimonies that we're going to have. We're going to have some awesome testimonies. And so, and then some people that honestly need some of the history. And so, you know, Peter LaBarbera has been studying the entire LGBTQ movement and this movement that has been brought into the church for over 35 years. And he, his, you know, background was investigative reporting. So we will have his part that brings that, and Janet Medford herself, you know, who is, you know, a reporter and in radio host by trade. And then David Pickup, who is a licensed marriage therapist, he's going to be addressing the ruse of this new conversion therapy bans that are across the nation, and actually talk about that. And that's really important for listeners to understand. Bottom line, all that is putting fear into the public that somehow anyone that's doing this kind of counseling is somehow harming the LGBTQ. Actually, what's happening, Bob, is they're wanting to ban, so that LGBTQ or sexually confused youth that actually want help, that their only road is to stay gay. And so this is nothing but a recruitment technique of the LGBTQ. Nobody's wanting to talk about it. Yours truly is going to call it what it is. It is nothing but a recruitment of our sexually confused youth to embrace homosexuality.
Well, Stephen Black joining us today. Godsvoice.us is the website where people can go. Also, there's a website I want to call people's attention to. This is something that actually it's an initiative that is less than a week old, and it's called Gone Too Far. That's gone with the number 2far.org. And you're part of the organizing committee. This is a multicultural committee here of people that are embracing a number of these issues. There is a proclamation that people can actually sign. It's called the Proclamation for Morality. There's information on the God's Voice Conference through there. There's also something called the Equality Act. And I want to give you maybe about 60 seconds if you can do that for us.
Sure.
This is something that is being proposed in the U.S. House of Representatives, and it's really a continuation of this effort to really get sexual orientation and gender identity to be written into the law and to prevent so-called discrimination against people based on whatever gender identity or sexual orientation or whatever these definitions, but to actually combine these with these immutable characteristics that we have typically seen in the law. So this is a serious threat.
It is. The Equality Act, bottom line, amends the 1964 and 69 Civil Rights Act. And what it does is it makes LGBTQ plus, and it actually even says, and others, other things. And so this would include that plus sign, which people need to study what that is, and it would bind across all the states, federal law, making those behaviors like skin color and gender. And so every public education, private education, all employment, anything that has to do, even the churches, would be up against normalization of homosexuality. The end result would be the criminalizing of Judeo-Christian values. That's where it ends, is the criminalization of Christianity.
And it's called the Equality Act. This is something that we were talking about around the time of the election. And now that you have a change in the leadership in Congress, this is something that has, I would imagine, it's already been introduced, but there will be activity concerning the Equality Act. I understand that there are over 200 co-sponsors for this act already in the U.S. House of Representatives. That is extremely concerning. And you can find out more information gone2far.org. Stephen Black, always a pleasure to have you on the program. And tell me, how can people find you at First Stone Ministries?
Yeah, firststone.org. It's spelled out, firststone.org. And they can fill out our contact form there. And then, come see us at the God's Voice. And that's God's Voice.us, and that's the website for the conference.
Outstanding. Stephen Black, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.